Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, as long as we're talking about images here, here's one for you. Cutting off your nose to spite your face? That's the current government shutdown. How about cutting off your whole head? That might be what happens if Congress fails to raise the debt ceiling. Back in September, the U.S. Treasury warned Congress that if the nation's debt limit isn't raised by October 17th, the U.S. will run out of cash to pay off its debts. And according to the Bipartisan Partisan Center, on October 18th, the U.S. government will find itself $106 billion short on its payments through mid-November, and that means that nearly a third of funds owed would go unpaid. Well, that's a scenario that economists say could cause massive economic turmoil, not just here in the U.S., but in bond markets all over the world. And now, as though the problem weren't bad enough, Washington watches as this government shutdown morphs and melds into an even bigger political problem that's raising the debt ceiling. James Surowiecki is a financial columnist for The New Yorker. He talked to me about why we have a debt ceiling in the first place.
Well, it's really a historical artifact. It was really the product of Congress's desire to ensure that the executive did not sort of spend money that had not been authorized. And so there was this idea that you would have this debt ceiling, which limits the amount of money that the federal government can borrow, and that that would serve as a check. But the reality is that reforms that happen in the way money gets appropriated and authorized, reforms that really kind of crystallized in the 1970s, essentially made the debt limit irrelevant, because Congress now very explicitly sets out, as you said, both what can be authorized and then appropriates the money for it. And then the executive branch, the president, is responsible for obviously going ahead and actually spending it. But basically, Congress controls the spending process from beginning to end. And so the debt limit, in a way, is an anachronism. And unfortunately, it is, as we're seeing now, an incredibly dangerous anachronism.
Well, we have a situation now where Republicans in Congress, conservatives most specifically, want concessions. They want some policy concessions in order to agree to raise the debt limit. They want a lot of different things. Some things are connected to the debt. Many of them aren't. Is there something wrong with that? I mean, in politics, you use your leverage. What's wrong with using the debt limit to get what you want?
Well, I think there are two big problems. The first is that, generally speaking, you don't want representatives of a country holding that country hostage in order to get policy. Obviously, you want people to use leverage, but you don't want the leverage to be, if you don't give us what we want, we are going to potentially send the country into a profound financial crisis. I think by any measure, that would be seen as congressional malpractice. And the funny thing is, no one, literally, I think, thinks that breaching the debt ceiling would be a good idea. Everyone agrees it would be a disaster. The Republicans are just, in effect, saying we're willing to risk disaster to get what we want. The second problem, which I think is really important to recognize, is that what Republicans are trying to use the debt ceiling to do is basically subvert the entire legislative process. You know, we know the way laws are supposed to get passed in the United States. A majority in Congress, both houses, passes the law. The president signs it. If the president vetoes and you have a veto-proof majority, you can override the veto. And that's what happened with Obamacare, which is really the linchpin of the Republican effort to use the debt ceiling as leverage. But Republicans don't like Obamacare, and they want to use the debt ceiling to, in effect, repeal it. But that basically means that any time a minority, which controls one house, doesn't like a policy, it can use the debt ceiling as hostage to get what it wants. That's a total perversion of majoritarian democracy. And I think it's a terrible idea, even if you set aside the fact that they are potentially risking economic catastrophe to get what they want.
Well, let's talk about that economic catastrophe. We did the politics. What about the financials of a debt limit? We know that if the debt limit's breached, the Treasury can't borrow. And I know that that's connected to Treasury bonds, that the Treasury issues bonds to pay on debt. What happens if we go beyond October 17th with no increase in the debt limit? What's the real world scenario here?
Well, the thing that's so painful about this is that it's purely self-inflicted, right? The United States has no trouble borrowing money. People are willing to lend us money at incredibly low interest rates. And in fact, even if people weren't, we have the Federal Reserve, which can print money and buy debt, which it has been doing. So there's no reason from a financial perspective for this to be happening. We would be choosing to, in effect, hurt ourselves. Now, in terms of how we would hurt ourselves, part of what's scary is we don't know exactly what would happen, because one of the real paradoxes here is that if we don't raise the debt ceiling and we can't borrow the money, we essentially would be able to pay some of our bills, but not all of them. We would have enough money coming in from tax revenue to pay some of our bills, but not all of them. And so the question is, well, what happens then? Who decides what bills to pay? There's no law saying that the president has the authority to do that. And the problem is that that uncertainty is incredibly dangerous. The second problem is that whether or not we pay the interest on the debt or if we just don't pay our bills, we would in effect be defaulting. And that is obviously going to send shockwaves through the system, because the whole point of the U.S. Treasuries for the global economy has been that they are the risk-free asset. You don't have to worry about anything going wrong with U.S. Treasuries. And we would, in effect, be making something go wrong with U.S. Treasuries. And that would probably send interest rates skyrocketing over time. The other scary thing is that Treasuries are used in the kind of the innards of the financial system all over the world as collateral. People use them to essentially borrow other money and the rest of it. If those treasuries are suddenly a little sketchy, it's possible that that will kind of freeze up the system. We don't know what will happen, but none of it is going to be good.
James Surowiecki with The New Yorker. Before I let you go, you know, I'm here in Washington right now where all of this is going on, and it just makes me want to ask you, if you had 30 seconds in a room with some of the politicians that are using the debt limit as leverage here, what would you say to them?
I would say stop. I would say to the Republicans, you had your chance on Obamacare. You lost. You don't have the votes to repeal it. But the debt limit is not something that politicians should be playing with.
Pleadings and advice from James Surowiecki, financial columnist for The New Yorker. James, thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Todd.